This podcast is brought to you by Homu Casino Resort, the player's place.
Paging Tim Flannery. Tim Flannery. Timmy, we need you. I know you're alive. I saw you on Sunday. Ben Woods, 97.3, The Fan. Guy looked so happy and healthy, sitting watching his grandson play baseball for my team. But I thought to myself last night, Flan's not making no sense, right? My beloved Tim Flannery, kind of a clunker last night. A clunker indeed for your San Diego Padres. It's okay. It's all going to be fine. People have asked if I was going to spend a chip. I was weirdly calm about it. I do have a chip here if anybody wants to use it.
I will spend
it. You want to hear?
Yeah, I was pissed off last night.
Nice flip there, by the way. Yeah, that was the most Ben flip of all time.
A little short arm.
A little...
I know we'll get into the game, but I said this morning, I go, man, that game pissed me off more than any game in the last few weeks for sure. Like, that's a game they absolutely should have won.
Sure.
I feel like they should have won 6-1 last night.
Yeah.
And to lose that game and be thrown out as many times to play as they were, I was so mad. So
that was something.
Cashing in a chip.
That was really something indeed. And I actually had to laugh. I really did. I laughed a lot about the first couple of innings. I thought it was fantastic. But we will get to it. Good morning, everybody. Hope you're well on a Tuesday. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Great. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning to you.
Good morning. And we've got something new in our chat. Fryer Cryer. Yes, Fire Stammen. But he's added Fire Henley as well.
So Sousa is safe. I mean, 7 hits last night. Not bad. Hitting the ball hard. Almost hit a, you know, there's a lot of almosts last night, certainly. But that was an interesting one, to be sure. How was everybody's day yesterday?
Back to the grind. Monday.
Yeah.
You know, reporting on the sale of the Padres, which, of course, okay. We will get into. Officially approved by Major League Baseball. So we did a story there. And then got home, watched the game, saw the videos from Petco Park of the Noah Kahan concert.
Kahn. Yeah.
No, don't know much about Noah. Obviously, I don't even know how to say his last name.
Right.
I saw our Sammy Levitt scrambled his way. Yeah, I made it from the post game show, which ended right around 8:00, and by 8:45, he was in the building for the Noah Kahan concert last night.
Yeah, he has been packing out football or baseball stadiums across the country.
He sold out 4 consecutive nights at Fenway Park earlier this year. 4 consecutive nights.
Seems to be a really good dude. I have listened to his music. I hate this because I'm always ripping on Pat McAfee, and they're not even in the same vein. He actually writes his own
song. I guess I'm an anomaly. My mom birthed a monopoly.
This is not Noah
Kahan. Not Noah Kahan.
I have heard of the name Noah Kahan a bunch. I've seen it in print. No idea what he sounds like.
Yeah, so he's a singer-songwriter. He's acoustic, but he's kind of emotional.
And folk pop is what of describe it as.
I feel like I know exactly what I'm pulling him up here.
Yeah, there's... but he's really popular, man. And
yeah,
I mean,
he's from Seattle.
He's really, really, really popular.
Hurt Somebody is his breakthrough single from a few years ago.
His voice is a little high for me. The register.
So he doesn't sound... He looks like a young Bob Seger a little bit, but he doesn't like him at all.
He's a little high for me, but he's good. He's talented.
Some people don't know either.
It's like Kendrick. It's the same. It's the register of the voice. You know, it's just high.
I feel like I'm back in 2013 or something.
Oh, in my radio heyday of Vance Joy and you name it. That's it all.
Lumineers.
It all blended in for me. But
it all
he is,
sounded the same.
He's massive, dude. He's massive.
No, I know he is.
This
huge,
has been this has been a hotbed for concerts. Like the last 4. So over the weekend, Hannah and I were talking. She goes, do you know, everyone we know is on a party bus to go see Rufus Du Sol right now? I go, what? And she goes, oh, yeah. Every Encinitas mom and dad are on party buses.
Wait, were you not invited on the party bus?
Nobody invited.
They're not inviting the Woods Nancarrow clan to Rufus Du Sol?
Does that bum you out?
There was a part of us that was like, well, would it have been nice for somebody to invite us? But then I was like, well,
you wouldn't have said yes.
No, I'm not saying yes.
You
I don't, I mean.
You like the opportunity. I'm the same way.
Actually,
you want the opportunity to be invited and then say no.
That's what Hannah said. You know what? Not anymore. Now I just don't want to be invited. I'd actually prefer if you don't invite me. It's preferred now because then I don't have to lie, make up an excuse, or say no.
But you're everybody's friend. Everybody wants you to be there.
But no one asked us. And I said to her,
"Are they maybe intimidated?
No."
To ask the Nancarrow Woods clan.
It's Woods Nancarrow, by the way. But I looked at her. I go, "Hey, are you you wouldn't have wanted to go to that, right?" And she goes, "No." She goes, "But I would have liked to have been invited." And I go, "I'm good. I don't even need to be invited anymore. I think I'm fine with it." Then there was Benson Boone.
Yeah, I was also in Point Loma that night with my wife. We were driving through Point Loma, and I go, "Why are all these cars?" And I go, "Oh, there's something going on at Sports Arena." We looked it up, and I go, "Benson Boone."
Benson Boone.
Okay.
So it was a split. The Encinitas mom. So a lot of Encinitas moms and kids go to Benson Boone. A lot of the Encinitas mom and dads that left kids with sitters go to Rufus Du Sol. Interpol, who I absolutely love, was playing the Shell. I had no idea.
Same night, right?
Saturday night. No, Friday night. I had no earthly idea they were playing Friday. So I'm sitting there going, I'm missing out on everything.
It is the catch-22, because if you're constantly being invited to everything, then you always have to say no. And you're saying no like 90% of the time. And no one likes someone who just always turns down invitations. But you also don't want to be the person who's never invited to anything. So you don't even have the option, which means you want to be invited some of the time so you can say yes about half of the time and say no about half the time.
Everything sounds good. So what?
And I thank God every day.
Is that Noah? That's Benson.
Oh, that's Benson.
Again, a little too high.
But I know the things he gives.
Nice, they though. Do kind of sound a little similar. Fun.
So if somebody had said to us in January, "Hey, I've got a party bus for Rufus Du Sol. We're all going to go on it." You could have gotten me to be like, "Oh, sounds great. Here's our $400 or whatever. We're in." The night of the show, I would have been turning over tables in my house.
Wait, what day of
like,
the week
what?
Is it?
I'm not going to want to go. Why did you agree to this? So I'm fine. I'm totally good. I'm totally, totally good. I really am bummed that I missed Interpol. I need, you know how Paulie used to do the Boomer Bulletin for me? Where he would, like, "Hey, here's what's on TV tonight." You know, it's usually during football season. You're like, "All right, here's what you need to watch and when."
That's not at all what the Boomer Bulletin was.
Wasn't
but
it?
I know what you're saying.
What? No, but the, like, what did we call it? Because you do it for Megan's mom. You send her, like...
Yeah, I don't know what we called that. The Boomer Bulletin was about pitchers hitting. Baseball.
Okay. That's true.
Like, I think 6 years ago.
But I think we did something where, like, you would make like, a graphic.
Daily, like, here's what's on Peacock. Yep. You got to go to Netflix for this game. Then you got to switch over to Amazon Prime at 4:30 for this one.
So I need somebody to make me a Boomer Bulletin about, like, here's what shows are coming to town. There's probably a website I could go to, and I'm happy to
do really
it.
I'm really bad at that as well, though.
Is it Ticketmaster? Well, speaking of concerts, so... I've made a concerted effort since, well, last week. Remember, I came on here. Adam had made a mistake. I texted him about it in the group thread. And he was so worried I was going to rip him the next day. I said, "I'm not going to rip you the next day." Right? Remember this about the blog and all that? And I said, so I've made a he sounded really stressed out. And I said, "I'm going to take it easy on this guy for a while because I am pretty hard on Adam. He's also pretty hard on me." And I said, "I'm just going to relax." So yesterday, picking the kids up from school and on the same group thread, I get a text from Adam Klug, and you guys were on it. Says, "Are you guys interested in interviewing the lead singer of Lynyrd Skynyrd in the second week of September leading up to their concert here? Johnny Van Zandt." Ben, keep your mouth shut next time.
Well, you didn't respond for a while.
I was picking up my children.
Yeah, I figured you were busy, so I...
Ben says, "Wow." He says, "I'm going to leave this to Woods, but expect him to say yes."
I mean, it's Lynyrd
Just say...
Skynyrd. You have spoke reverently about their place in music history in the past, so I figured...
From 40 years ago.
I figured that would be a pretty cool thing to get to interview the lead singer from Lynyrd Skynyrd.
It's the lead singer's brother. lead singer died. So anyway.
Didn't know that.
So I said, ha ha ha, no. And Ben says, wow, I would have lost money on that one. Again, digging my hole deeper. And then Ben, following up again, is he not really Skinnerd? And I said, well, his brother was. I said, all the original guys are gone. They passed away. Ben says, maybe they're all bumblebees now, which I thought was a great line.
Good line. So wait, his brother is in the band. He just wasn't originally in the band.
He's never... He goes and sings his brother's songs. He's never written a song that...
So it'd be like if Jagger died and then Chris Jagger was singing lead vocals
Mike
for the Stones.
Mike Jagger is singing for the Stones and you get to interview him. So anyway, I said, well, again, and I just said, I'm good. So then I get this.
That was good enough for me, by the way. Once
good.
You said,
I was
like, okay, well, I know he has a reason.
Then I get... Adam Wikipedia Klug. There aren't any members of the original band, but they have all the rights to the music and IP. I think it's an interesting story about carrying on their legacy. You really don't want to speak to him? Bro, I gave you my answer. I said I didn't want to. Why are you jamming a Lynyrd Skynyrd interview down my throat on a Monday afternoon? It's the same thing he did to me when I said, hey, man, I'm going to go on vacation. Are you sure you don't want to work? Listen, no means no. Not no means maybe I can be convinced. When I say no, I don't want to do it. That goes for anything.
I mean, every once in a while, someone will make a good point.
No.
And you go, you're right. I didn't think about that.
No.
You've changed my mind.
But I thought about that. I thought about this. I knew what I was doing. This is actually my vein.
That's
is it
true.
Not?
Yeah, this
it,
is, yes.
Do you want to interview Lou Alcindor? And I say, I don't know. Well, he was a 50-time rebounding champion and a 50-time, okay, maybe I can be convinced of that. This is my domain. That's my domain. I know what I'm doing. Now, again, there is a possibility that there's some corporate partnership.
Oh, yeah, like you got a show coming up?
If you need me to interview him for your corporate partnership, then just tell me that. You don't have to sell me on, are you sure you don't want to talk to Johnny Van Zandt about living and carrying on the legacy that was one of the greatest Southern rock bands of all time? Yeah, I'm sure. I'm losing my hair.
Adam just sitting on Wikipedia texting
yes,
us.
Yes, just texting
is
me
killing
pieces
me, by
of
the way.
Wikipedia. Read the Wikipedia.
So you really don't want to talk to John Roy Van Zandt, born February 27, 1960? Yeah.
I didn't want to.
Did you know Van Zandt is also a fan of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
That's a
he
great
recorded
sports
a video.
Title. I swear to God. If I had had a knife, I would have stabbed myself in the throat. And I'm just reading it over going, why? Of all the things in a brand manager.
In May 2006, Van Zandt underwent surgery to have his appendix removed.
Hey, Johnny, it's Woodsy from Ben and Woods. I also had my appendix out. That was a mother effer, wasn't it?
Hey, Johnny, it's Ben from Ben and Woods. You think this is the year for Trevor Lawrence and company? They're going to get it done?
Here's how it should go. Text to the group. Are you guys interested in interviewing Johnny Van Zandt from Lynyrd Skynyrd? You keep your pie hole shut. You keep your pie hole shut. I will say no thank you. Then the next text should say okay. And that's it. That's as far as it goes, right? Like, am I out of line here? Am I really out of line? Because I don't feel like I am. Let me tell you, that text exchange kept me up last night an extra 30 minutes because I kept rereading it. Hannah's laying in bed drifting off, and I go, why? Why is he shoving a Lynyrd Skynyrd interview down my throat? I don't understand it. What is it? What is going on? And I thought to myself, you're a brand manager for a sports station. Why are you selling me on this? What do you need? And again, I'm such a fan. I operate better when I feel like I'm not being sold. If you say to me, hey man, we have a partnership with this ticket sales company. They want to promote this. You're going to need to interview Johnny Van Zandt. I'll make it work.
Yeah, people in the chat are asking, like, oh, are they paying extra money for this interview? Like, that's a possibility that it's the ticket group asked, hey, would you guys be interested in having this interview? He never mentioned that, though.
He's gonna give me a stroke one day. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be reading it, where I'm like, hey, no thank you. Why? Because I really don't want to. Why not? But because it doesn't make sense for me right now. Why not?
Can
you make time? Bro. Leonard's, again, not a. I think it'd be interesting to talk to the Chargers offensive coordinator. I think it's Mike McDaniel now, isn't it? That is an interview I would go, all right, I know people are going to get mad at this, but he's a pretty interesting dude. Mm-hmm. I'll take it. I don't need 96-year-old Johnny Van Zandt. Be like, so, tell me about when your brother wrote all those cool songs. Oh, Gary Rossington, is he around? No, he's not. He's dead too.
Here's a question. Is a band still a band if none of the original members remain
and
they're all
so.
Gone?
I don't think so.
They're a tribute band.
They're a tribute band, yeah.
Even if someone's related to someone in the band, that doesn't really...
brother.
It's not really the band anymore. I mean, it's a stretch when you've got like one person left and then they surround themselves with an entirely different crew. But if it's the most notable person, if it's the lead singer, I'll allow it, I think.
Lead singer... Really? Like, Johnny Marr shouldn't tour under the Smiths. He tours under Johnny Marr. Morrissey shouldn't tour under the Smiths. It's weird because those two together is what... And Andy Rourke, he passed away. They made up the Smiths. So, like, you'll see sometimes... Rat was a band where the drummer, Bobby Blotzer, was like, we're touring under the name Rat. And it's like, it's not Stephen Piercy's thing. Stephen Piercy toured under, like... The new Rat at the same time, but the singer is the one where I think, right. Like, you follow him, you'll be in good shape. Now, he's sung for Skynyrd for 40 years, but he's not there.
I can't think of any
Skynyrd.
Other bands where, like, the whole band has been replaced with
new
members.
Quiet Riot keeps going on without any
Kevin
Riot members.
Because he died. I don't know anybody else that's in it, but, like, sometimes a band will replace the singer.
Even when
and it's
related,
a better band,
though.
Like Bon Scott passed away. They got Brian Johnson and AC/DC, and you can like both versions, and I do. But the trajectory went through the roof with Brian Johnson. Van Halen toured under Van Halen with Sammy Hagar because the Van Halen brothers were still in it. Would you go see Van Halen if?
Well, like
Eddie wasn't there, it kind of makes it tougher.
Wolfgang Van Halen,
right? Like, Wolfgang Van Halen.
You don't
play
feel
bass.
Like you're watching the original Van Halen. You feel like you're watching more of a. It's more of a homage to Van Halen.
Judas
at that point.
Priest had the tryout, and they hired a guy to sing for Rob Halford, which was awful. He was okay,
like an open tryout.
And then Journey had they got the guy from the Philippines, I
right,
think.
Right, to replace Steve Perry. Yeah.
Sounds just like him.
John Stamos with
Hannah,
the Beach Boys.
Hannah went to see the Filipino dude at Petco Park, and he murdered it. Like, he murdered it. Like, if you close your eyes, you wouldn't really know that it wasn't Steve Perry. I think a band can still be a band.
Didn't Stamos tour with the Beach Boys?
Yeah, but he's a drummer, though. He just played as a drummer.
Are we talking only singers right now?
Well, like, mostly, like, singers, you can... Singers is the hard one. Like, oh,
that's
hey,
the
we're...
the one you can't replace.
We're Ben and Woods, but it's Mike and Fred in here. You know what I mean? The brand is a brand, but I don't know.
I guess, Taylor Hawkins passes away, Foo Fighters go on...
Get a new drummer.
...with a new drummer,
that's
but
right.
If Dave Grohl passes away, I don't know that
be
the Foo
tougher.
Fighters could continue.
Be
I mean, they could, I guess... In theory, but it like Linkin Park is going around with what's her name as the new lead singer.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel like Linkin Park. That feels like a new band entirely.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't just call it a new band. I guess you want the brand recognition. But that's what Skynyrd did. They just was like, all right, well, Ronnie's dead. Now we have Johnny. Interviewing on Ben and Woods, I'm sure, in the next few weeks. So anyway, it was just really it was really funny. And my embargo, I guess, is over. But,
sorry,
but what am I supposed to do? I mean, you can't not tell that story. Right? Like, you have to tell that story.
Yeah, the way you tell it, you kind of have to tell that story. It's pretty good.
My hair is going gray.
We do get to see if Petco Park can manage all these concerts better than Citi Field did. They made a point of it on the broadcast with the giant chunks out of the outfield, which Mudd said was due to a My Chemical Romance show that had been played at Citi, and they weren't able to get the outfield back up. So Petco does a really good job of generally getting it ready for Padres baseball, because they've got games starting on Friday when the Padres return home. So they are jamming a lot of concerts in, though. It's summertime. People like going outside, seeing music. So, as you said, lots of shows in San Diego this past week.
And it's going to be here in September.
All right, shall we get started on the program today, Paulie? How was
Adam
your day?
Lambert and Queen.
There.
It's another one.
God,
yeah.
He sounds good, though.
He does
That's
sound
the
good.
The thing is, like, I guess there's exceptions to every rule. Sounds really, really good. But how do you replace Freddie Mercury? Well, you kind of did. He sounds excellent. I don't know. No offense, Lynyrd Skynyrd. Congrats on
your day was good. Otherwise, was.
I mean, that kind of ruined it. And then the Padres lost.
Yeah.
it wasn't great.
Not great.
It wasn't great. I didn't get super mad though. I just didn't. I thought it was funny. But they built up a little equity with me. You know,
the Padres have.
Yeah, the way they've been playing lately, like I was like, I mean, this sucks.
I feel like now they need to have a 3-run comeback in the eighth inning to steal a victory now that they gave that one up.
Overall, they did not play a bad game.
No,
in terms of, I mean, great pitching performance, you know, put it together a couple of rallies. The Mets did almost nothing the whole game, yet they ended up losing.
Yeah.
And obviously, at this stage of the season, with 36 games now remaining, and you're fighting for a playoff spot, every game like this is going to feel of outsized importance, especially when you feel like you should have had that one.
I felt a little better when I looked at the score and saw the Red Sox were absolutely crushing the Diamondbacks. Was a little bummed. Some real controversy in the Phillies game. If you guys saw
we'll
that,
talk about it. Yeah,
could have cost us another. Half game in the
game in the stand. We'd still be tied, and now we're a game behind the Phillies. And we'll tell you what happened in the seventh inning.
Really nuts.
Got Clayton McCullough ejected from that game. The Miami Marlins manager, they were taking on the Phillies, and why they possibly lost that game on just a horrible call by an umpire, and then a questionable ruling after the horrible call when it was reviewed. So, yeah, we got a lot to get to on the program today. We'll take our first little time out. Then we will come back. We will crap up a Padres 2-1 loss and get into all the sends and nonsense and plays of the first game of the series against the New York Mets. We'll tell you a couple of special guests that we'll have on the program today, one related to the new ownership of the San Diego Padres as well. It's all coming up next, broadcasting live from our Bill House studios on a Tuesday morning. It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Well, quickly, in times of despair as I'm facing right now, I do have my Eco Water with me, and that does make me very happy. I am happy that we have it at work here as well. But, you know, think about the worst house guest that you've ever had, the one that ruins your clothes, leaves ugly stains, and destroys the plumbing. You're paying a monthly water bill to get that guest to live in your house. Southern California water is rock hard. It's basically liquid gravel eating away at your water heater, trashes your appliances, it dries out your skin, your hair. We got tired of fighting it. Plus, we just wanted some good, delicious, healthy water in our home. That's why we put the EcoWater SoCal system in our house. Everybody's obsessed with it in my house, including my cats, who go and drink from the faucet, even though they have bowls of water. Listen, let these guys come out and do a free in-home water test for you. Call 760-350-3338, 760-350-3338, or go to EcoWaterSoCal.com. Let them know Woodsy sent you. Not everything in life should be hard, my friends, especially your water. Keeping it soft since 1925.
Ben and Woods brought to you by David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. I'm sure you heard the announcement yesterday, but the Padres officially have new owners, or will in the next couple of days, after all 29 other Major League Baseball owners unanimously approved the sale of the team to Kwanza Jones and Jose E. Feliciano at a $3.9 billion valuation. We will go through some of their statements that we saw yesterday, but I did want to alert everybody that the new owners will be introduced at a news conference next Monday at 1 p.m. at Petco Park, and we will be carrying that news conference live and commercial-free here on 97.3 The Fan.
Excellent.
So get the first comments publicly from Kwanza Jones and Jose E. Feliciano about the new ownership of the San Diego Padres.
Now, we've been down there quite a bit over the last few years to see the introduction of new managers. And
occasionally contract extensions, yep, like Michael King.
That's right.
More new managers.
More new managers, and then another manager, and then maybe
then another manager. Another manager,
I think. This is one I feel like I need to put on a button down for.
Ooh.
Because the previous time I just wore pants and a t-shirt, like a black t-shirt untucked. But I feel like with the ownership, probably won't go suit, no tie, but I'll probably go slacks, button down, tucked in.
Okay.
Probably.
That sounds
which means I'll have
reasonable.
Well, no, we got time. We can go home and then back down to Petco because the press conference is at 1, right? Mm-hmm. I can go home and change.
You never know. You certainly want to make a good first impression
sure.
in case you meet the new owners in person. But, for instance, I mean, you probably thought Peter Seidler was a coat and tie guy when...
Definitely not.
Really, he was more of a...
The pajamas.
Yeah.
Pajamas guy. Like, the most chill, like, in his baggy slippers, pajamas. Shirt. Yeah. You're like, wait, you... Okay. I mean, I kind of like that. You
I
know.
Do, too.
I like my billionaires to be not that ostentatious, and that was Peter Seidler, so I don't know.
Button down, just hanging off of him.
Literally.
Like a 3X.
Yeah. Fresh Jimmy says, I'm curious, does the vote have to be unanimously
no,
approved?
You just need three quarters of owners, so I think they needed 23 out of the 29.
Yeah, and they got
all 29.
Which
I don't
is
think
great.
It was really ever much in question.
Hell of a first impression, guys, last night on the first official day of not you guys, Feliciano and Jones, but your San Diego Padres that you just purchased, really went out and laid one down for
I
you.
I saw somewhere where in the next couple of days they actually like have to record the sale. So I don't know when technically the new, like their record as owners starts compiling.
When's it start?
If I'm them, I'm going, we weren't owners.
Nope.
No, we were not owners yet last
that
night.
Us.
That one does
that
not count.
Seidler family
that one
put
goes
that on
their
the
record.
L ledger for them.
I'm sure they're waiting for a win. They go, oh yeah, we happen to record it right before the final out of this win. So we'll take that one. We're 1-0 in our tenure as Padres owners. So we will carry that live for you next Monday afternoon at 1 p.m. Live here on 97.3 The Fan, and
yeah,
should get a chance to hear from them personally down there.
You know, it's certainly a banner day, right? Anytime ownership changes hands. And I liked the statement from Scheel yesterday. She said, with a heavy heart, I'm sharing this news, but also with so much gratitude for the journey Peter and I shared with the Padres. I believe the sale to Jose E. Feliciano and Kwanza Jones reflects what Peter would have wanted for the team and for San Diego. He cared deeply about building a legacy that brought people together, championed diversity, and opened doors for others. I'm grateful that Jose and Kwanza share that vision and are investing in the future of the Padres here in San Diego. This chapter closes one door and opens another for the team we love. To the Friar faithful, thank you for your support, your kindness, and for honoring Peter's legacy. I will always carry his light forward. I thought that was very sweet and classy.
Yeah, I think getting the sign-off from Scheel Seidler is important for the new owners going forward.
100%.
I don't think any Padres fan was going to feel great about it if Scheel was still going like, no, this is not
this
what
is
Peter
not
would
right.
have wanted. Yep. So knowing that, you know, she is on board with this decision and she believes that the team is going to be in good hands moving forward is a positive for the entire fan base.
And I think we can all recall back to the initial maybe 6 months, a year after Peter died, the uncertainty of this franchise, the Eric Kinsenda days. Nothing against Eric. I think he was thrust into a really tough position. Did not want to be a forward-facing type, you know, what did they call him at the time?
Like
control person. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not a gig he really wanted to have. And so, but there was so much uncertainty in the amongst the fan base, so much speculation. You know, what's going to happen? What is this guy up to? I saw a picture of his wife in a Dodgers hat. Like, what's going on? You got to admit, to get to where we are now, not that it's been seamless, I would say it's about best case scenario. I really would. Like, it's been fairly quick and seemingly, by all accounts,
smooth.
Yeah. And we are pushing forward and not looking back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the lawsuit that Scheel filed against Peter's brothers was not... It's not great, clearly, but it got worked out.
Yep.
And there's there was probably never any chance that there wasn't going to be some drama in dealing with an asset of this magnitude and a family that large.
Think about how
trying
bad,
to figure it out.
Think about how bad it could have gone and how long it could have dragged out. I mean, I was looking at Dodger fan tweets yesterday, as I do, ripping this team, you know, ripping this for the uncertainty and poverty, and you took out a loan and blah, 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 blah. Well, the tables have turned a little bit up there in L.A. as there's a decent chance that Mark Walters has to sell the Dodgers.
Bro, what is going on?
Listen, I need someone a lot smarter than me to explain it, and I want them to explain it like this. Woodsy, let's say you and Ben and Paul have a lemonade stand. And then go from there, okay? That's what I want it to sound like. So start, I need the lemonade stand metaphor for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Can you do that?
No, this is beyond my Ben-splaining
abilities.
It's
beyond it, okay. That surprised me.
Beyond my abilities.
Kudos to you for admitting that instead of just trying to BS your way through it.
Yeah, some sort of loaning to yourself. I have no idea what that means. How can you loan money to yourself? I don't get it.
Oh, it's very shady.
So someone will also have to explain it to me it's a lemonade stand.
It's interesting, too, because it begs the question. Should we put asterisks on those World Series if that money was obtained illegally and spent? Okay?
It's an interesting question.
There's one
you pose.
On, you got one on 20 because it's just a short little 60-game season. And then you had all this illegal money that you spent on all these players. Asterisks are all around. Right? Fair, I think. If they're going to put a 61 asterisk on Roger Maris, I think you have to do it here.
I do believe that the Dodgers are still profitable in and of themselves. I don't.
It's very easy to be profitable.
I think it's
his
other business that's the shadier part that's being investigated.
Sure.
Unfortunately, I do think the Dodgers make money hand over fist, and that is part of the problem.
That's the one clean thing he did was the Dodgers. I'm sure of it.
In the announcement yesterday, it is notable. Final sentence after introducing Kwanza Jones, Jose E. Feliciano. Feliciano will be designated the Padres control person in accordance with MLB governance requirements, and the Padres will continue to be led day-to-day by Chief Executive Officer Eric Rupner and President of Baseball Operations and General Manager A.J. Preller. So no changes in leadership for the San Diego Padres, and with that in mind, we will be joined at 8 o'clock today. A little special surprise guest, Eric Rupner, will be with us, and we can talk about the approval of the new ownership and what the next steps are coming forward for the San Diego Padres. All guests on Ben and Woods appear on our SDCCU fan hotline. It's not big bank banking. It's better. Very curious as to what the transition looks like. I mean, you know, what's the first thing that you come in as your new owners? I'd imagine I'd want to get to know my organization. You know, how hands-on are they going to be? Yeah. Some owners you rarely see, and they just, you know, get a report, maybe an email, you know, once a week or so, and then maybe there's a board meeting or two. Others are at the ballpark on a daily basis and, you know, want to make sure they're touching in with different departments all the time. I don't know what kind of owners Kwanza Jones and Jose E. Feliciano are going to be. Maybe Eric Rupner has an idea of what to expect going forward.
It's also interesting timing just in the calendar. You know what I mean? Like, if you're the new owners, you're thinking, all right, maybe we just kind of ease our way in. Like, this team, everybody right now is focused on this push for the postseason. Like, I don't know. Do you just kind of stay in the background for a little bit and let the season play out? Because I know, like, when you get to this point in the season, it's like everybody, top to bottom in the organization, is focused on the playoffs.
Sure. Yeah, as they should be, including the third base coach.
Well, we'll get to that. Before Eric Rupner joins us, we will have our Padres crap up in just a moment. We will also talk, and don't do this, at 7:20 about the Ketel Marte situation with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Another interesting story after last year, if you'll remember, coming out of the All-Star break when he didn't return to the team, and that was a big deal, and now kind of goes missing in Boston on the Arizona Diamondbacks road trip, and we'll hear what Torrey Lovello had to say about it, and that's really a doo-doo this moment. At 7:40, we will be joined by Jesse Agler, Padres broadcaster from New York. We'll play the Incorporator, letter T with Jesse, get his thoughts on yesterday's game as well in this turnaround by the San Diego Padres. And then after Eric Rupner, we'll have our MLB reach-around Rondo Report in the second second half of Ben and Woods, and we'll look ahead to game two of the series with Robbie Ray on the mound against Zach Thornton of the Mets at 4:10 this afternoon. But let's check traffic, then we will come back and we will go through all the historically bad sends
setting records,
to
baby.
Home plate by your San Diego Padres last night. Coming up next year with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
You got a problem.
How did things play out in yesterday's game?
Supremely stupid.
It's time for the Padres
crap up
with Ben and Woods. Brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort. Hey, player, here's something to cheer you up. The rooftop pool's open, day passes are available, and the spa is calling your name. Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
This game has got to come to an end.
A one pitch looped into shallow right center again. Ben's charging in, and again has to play it on a hop. Throw will come home with Cronenworth on his way, and he's out by a mile. Surprised to see him even try. And boy, Carson Benj now an outfield assist for a third consecutive game. 0-2, Merrill swings, rips it into right field. That's a base hit. Machado rounding third on his way. Benj comes up throwing again. Here's the play at the plate. He is out. Benj gets two here in the first. And that's it for the Padres in the top half of inning number one. Bichette hits it on the ground to the right side. France dives, can't get there, neither can Cronenworth. It's into right field. Ewing rounding third, he'll score. The throw goes to third, not in time. RBI single, Bo Bichette. And on his bobblehead night, he's given the Mets a 1-0 lead. Robert swings, lines it to center field. Merrill measuring it up, comes in, makes the catch. Lindor tagging. Here's the throw to the plate, and it is cut by France. A sack fly to give the Mets a 2-0 lead. On the ground through the left side and a base hit. Bogart's rounding third on his way. Here's Ewing's throw to the plate. He is out at home. Unbelievable. For the fourth time in two innings, the Padres are out at home. Tatis swings, hits it in the air, deep to left field. Ewing going back. He is on the warning track, feeling for the wall. He's got room, and he makes the catch. Sheets will tag and score from third. Fernando just missed, but it's a sack fly to get the Pods on the board. And 2-1 here in the second. 0-2, and a swing and a miss. And Hefo strikes out. Duarte a 1-2-3 ninth to collect his third career save. And a weird one at Citi Field ends 2-1 with the Mets ahead. Padres had their shots early. And four of the first six outs that they made were at home plate as the Mets hang on for a 2-1 win in game one of this series.
Credit to them. They made some, you know, really good throws at home plate. We had three chances to score, and they got us for every single one. You know, our mentality is to be aggressive on the base paths, make the other team make a play. Tonight, you know, they made the plays.
The one play, like, you know, Jake held up. I had to see if the ball was caught, and it looked like this kid who has, you know, been throwing people out had a pretty good play. What was your view on that?
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, where Jake was in the base path, and then where, like, he was stagnant. He wasn't, you know, moving much, and I think it just took him a while to get going, and kid made a great throw. You know, that throw's on the money. If it's a little bit off, we have run, you know, on all three of them. If any of those throws, you know, bounce a little awkwardly, or they're 2 feet one way or 2 feet the other way, or catcher hits it off his glove, you know, we haven't run, and they just made perfect plays there.
I thought it was comical, and then I just wasn't worried. I felt like this team was going to scratch out that win last night. They didn't, and I definitely yelled an F-bomb or two. I thought Fernando had that grand slam. I mean, when he hit that, I go, that looks like it's gone, and we're right back, and we're winning this game easy. I have a lot of confidence in these guys last night, or right now, last night notwithstanding. Stupid baseball plays, man. Bad reads, bad sends, running through stop signs. It's never going to lead to wins. I mean, Jake is an excellent base runner. He was not in that moment. He was not. I was thinking about it. He has the best view in the house on that ball. He has the best view in the house. Benj was not getting to that ball. I think as soon as it's hit, you turn, you look, it's down, and I'm scoring. I think if he got a better read, he scores easily. Man, he's just slow. He was going hard, and he had a good read.
Send.
Man, he had a good read and was running hard. The guy made a good throw on that one and got him. I thought Alvarez had a really nice pick, but he had all the time in the world to get Cronenworth because he was 17 feet from the base when he picked that ball. And it's disheartening. It's disheartening when you string that many hits together for that not to materialize into a lot of runs, actually. Not just a couple, but a lot of runs. That should have been a huge inning. They were seeing McLean well, which gave me I was happy about that. I mean, hitting the ball off of McLean, I know a couple of them were bleeders, but Nando squared him up. But then, you know, McLean settles down and gets into the, what, sixth?
Yeah, I think both things can be true. I think I was super upset with last night's loss, but it doesn't change. Like, I still think they absolutely have confidence in them to go out there and get the job done tonight, and even tomorrow, you still win a series. I don't think, this isn't a trend, but still, like, that was, I thought, infuriating, the fashion in which they lost. I thought Walker Buehler pitched pretty damn well and probably should have gotten a win. I feel like that, like I said earlier, I feel like that they should have won 6-1 last night, and to lose 2-1 was painful. And then, quite frankly, didn't really want to hear after the game, hey, you know, if that ball hits a rock and bounces the other way, then three of those runs could have scored. I'm like, yeah, and if Nolan McLean got in a car accident on the way to the game, maybe he doesn't make his start.
Dark right there.
That is dark.
That's very dark.
Well, I hate the could have, would have, should have. You know, if Fernando hits a grand slam, then we're not even talking about that.
You survived the last 8 years then in this
barely
room.
Have. It's infuriating.
I will argue process because the first 11 batters of the game for the San Diego Padres, Nolan McLean almost did nothing correct for 11 straight batters. It started with Tatis scorching a liner that somehow he caught. Cronenworth single, Machado single, France single, Merrill single, Campy walk, Sheets hit by a pitch, Bogarts walk, Renjifo force out. He got that one. Then Tatis just 111.3 miles per hour that had a 42-degree launch angle somehow stays in the yard. Crony single. Those are your first 11 batters of the game.
If you
don't get guys thrown at the plate, you're up 8 or 9-0. God. It's still the first inning, and Nolan McLean's out of the game. So let's be clear. The Mets were insanely lucky to still be in this game after the first 20 minutes.
Yeah,
it should have been so over by that point.
What you don't want to do is you don't want to help their luck by having a horrendous end.
Correct.
Or two, or three.
And that, to me, I was very surprised on Jake's because, you know, it's still one out. He's on second base. The ball is, as you said, floated in there. Whether he reads it well or not, I don't know. I can't see where Jake is. But in my mind, either he didn't read it well and there's no chance he's going and he's stopping at third.
Same. Yeah.
Or he read it really well and he's already almost halfway home.
Correct.
And it's going to be no play at the plate. So I was so surprised to even see a throw to the plate.
Same.
Who is he trying to get? There's no chance Jake is going if he didn't read that. And there's no chance they're getting him if
they
he did read that. So why was he sent? Why did he go? To me, that was really the only big mistake by Bob Henley. I thought with two outs, you do push it. I know Manny's not the fastest base runner, but that was a closer play. Jackson hit that one a little bit harder. That one I totally understand.
Sure,
in a
no
normal
problem.
Course of events. The one, you know, totally different outfielder throwing at A.J. Ewing in the next inning with Xander Bogaerts running.
Yeah, but you can't look at each one of those plays in a vacuum, though.
That was an incredibly close play, and you feel like, okay, that I'm okay with that. And actually, Xander ran through the stop sign, I guess I found out after the game. Yeah. But
context matters, though, when it's the third out at the plate or whatever, like when the third time that you're getting thrown out the plate.
It should never matter what happened before. You know,
it absolutely matters.
No, it doesn't. Every play should be in a vacuum on its own.
Yeah,
and it should be, you know, you should never stop sending people
because
you got one wrong.
I don't want my third base coach who had a crap send in the first to then get...
Yeah.
Like, I want them to stay.
Can we all agree? If your guys make it 100% of the time, your third base coach sucks. He's not sending
enough guys, yeah.
What's the right amount to get thrown out? I don't know. But if it's 100%, then your third base coach is not doing his
job.
Obviously, that was not correct either. But the right amount is, you're making it like 90% of the time when you're sending guys. I don't know what you're looking for.
I don't know. If the first two runners get on and try to steal second and they both get caught stealing, even if they got aggressive jumps and all of that, and the catcher just made good throws, I'm probably not sending the third
guy.
That's
wrong, Paulie. That is absolutely wrong.
I don't think you can live that way.
You cannot manage
gunshot. In that moment, you can. For that one moment,
you play basketball, you go 0-for-6, you done shooting?
Yeah,
no,
probably.
You're a good shooter and a good player.
You got to keep shooting.
Manny's not a good runner, so why are we sending him?
Manny's an awesome runner. He's an excellent base runner. He's an excellent base runner.
All right, we'll continue to discuss this. We'll get more into the sale of the San Diego Padres as well. Hour number two will also feature Jesse Agler joining us from New York. All ahead with Bennett Woods and Paul yelling at each other on a Tuesday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam.